You are listening to Baseball Zealot Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. My name is Tom Melshoppen. I'm coming to you from Urbana, Illinois, and we have Chuck Lucas. Chuck is coming to you from the north side of Chicago. Chuck, how are you doing?
Hey, doing good, Tom. A little cold up here in Chicago, but we need to get out of baseball after last week's debacle in the Super Bowl.
Right, 3 days till pitchers and catchers report, if I'm on my date, if I got my dates right. Is that right? The 14th of February
is pretty much... I believe that is, yeah. I believe it's for the Cubs, at least, up here, and I think the Sox are 2 days later, but don't quote me on that either.
Okay.
This week, anyway, that they're going to be out there. So,
it's just
a matter of time.
Won't be too long until we start hearing injury reports, at least from the Cubs' point of view, right?
Yes, that's true. I don't know. I'd like to read a quote.
No, we're optimistic. I'm keeping optimistic here.
I did read that player said it feels good. So, yeah, that's a true story. Just a couple of days ago, it said he's fine. So,
before we get too hot and heavy into the baseball, so I assume you watched the Super Bowl, right?
I did.
You did.
We actually attended a Super Bowl party and all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
So,
what was your overall impression of the game?
Loved the opening kickoff. Yeah. After that, it got a little bit fuzzy.
Yeah. The beers start flowing and you start just fading out, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, it didn't flow enough. If I would have known now what I knew then, or wherever it goes, I would have been imbibing a little bit more. But good season for the Bears. Congrats to the Colts. Okay, I said the obligatory garbage.
Right.
I guess we can move past that and go on to baseball or something like that. No, it was I wouldn't say it was a good game, but it was amazing to me that the Bears were even in the game. Fourth quarter, they're only down 5, which was amazing to me as how poorly they played. But, oh well, next year or 5 years from now or 21 years from now, I guess maybe.
Right. Well, I did get a chance to talk to a friend of mine who was actually at the Super Bowl. And he's a lifelong Bears fan, and he was able to make it to the Super Bowl. And I had a short chat with him until he got a chance to talk to me about his experience down there and what it was like to be there and his impressions of the game. So we're going to cut to Tyler Davis, Bear fan who went down to the Super Bowl, and let's take a listen to that. Tyler Davis, welcome to the show. You live and work in Chicago. You're a Bears fan, and you went to the Super Bowl. First of all, were you prepared for the weather?
I was prepared for the weather. I actually brought a poncho with me from Chicago. I saw it coming a ways away, and believe it or not, I was actually hoping for the rain and the inclement
yeah, right.
weather, figuring it would play to the Bears' advantage with Peyton Manning having trouble throwing the ball, but that didn't really happen the way we wanted it to. So,
where were your seats?
Our seats were about 10 rows directly below the scoreboard in the Bears end zone. And the thing I noticed about the game and the seating was that in the end zone, the seats were actually closer to the field as opposed to the sidelines, because the sidelines, on either side of the bench was about 20 yards wide. We had good seats. The only other thing I would say about them is that the scoreboard behind us was extremely loud.
Oh, yeah.
We did not catch the Prince Super Bowl halftime show.
Oh, was that a good thing, though?
yeah. But then again, I read the paper the next day, and it said that the Prince show got an A on the report card. So
okay.
Who knows what I meant?
Yeah,
but I'm not worried.
It depends. Well, I got to ask you, how did you and everyone that was with you, how did you guys feel after the first, say, 10, 15 seconds of the game?
jubilation would be the way I put it. No, my father and I, a longtime Bears fan, did made the trek down. We're actually in the middle of a Bears season ticket holder, group of folks who'd come down from Chicago. And, there were a lot of hugs and high fives and, screaming. It was great. And, we really thought it was going our way.
Yeah. Here in my house, I was literally jumping up and down after Devin Hester's return, and I think the house was shaking under my weight here. In terms of the jubilation? Did you feel it from a good majority of the fans there? Was it mixed?
Oh no! I mean, absolutely. I mean, where we were, I would say at the stadium, it was probably a ratio of at least 3-1 Bear fans.
Really?
And I've heard some folks say as high as 10-1. I don't believe that. I think that's a little bit of a stretch, but I think easily 3-1 Bear fans.
Uh-huh.
The stadium was really loud and engaged in the first half of the game. And obviously as the game wore on and, the rain kept coming down and, the Bears started turning the ball over, that kind of, changed, right, at, you know, towards the end of the second half. But,
so,
that was the high point of the game. I mean, Devin Hester, the seventh time he'd done it all year, which is pretty amazing. So, believe it or not, I was actually looking for a Hester jersey before the game. But that's another story. That the NFL experience shop outside was a huge disappointment.
Oh, was it?
You would figure for $600 tickets, they'd have some pretty nice items and apparel and things like that.
Oh, you think, yeah.
You know, you went inside and it was just, you know, not really any team apparel with Super Bowl, you know, patches or anything.
Oh, really?
And, you know, more of Super Bowl XLI shirts and, you know, XLI, just like little helmets and things like that. So.
Okay.
Not really too impressed with that, but, yeah, I mean, you know, it was a great time, you know, we tailgated for a while before the game, before we went into that, so.
So what was your take on the game?
My take on the game was...
Well, other than, of course, you're disappointed, of course, but what was your take on why?
On why the Bears,
lost
the way they did? It goes back to your quarterback, Rex Grossman, and, not only that, but I don't think the coverage on defense was really all that great. I mean, but I think it ultimately goes back to Rex Grossman being a first-year quarterback, essentially, and having a bad game. I mean, he's done this several times this season. He's, you know, the Achilles heel of the Bears when they lose, and I just think that happened again. Benson going out certainly didn't help when he had a knee contusion with the fumble there also when he came to the game, but turnovers, the rain, it wasn't an easy game to play in, so I don't know. I thought the Bears played pretty well considering they were in the game going to the fourth quarter only down 5 points.
Right.
For me, that was pretty big that we were still having a chance to get back in it, but when it comes down to your quarterback and then he throws interceptions in the fourth quarter, you're doomed at that point. So
I think a lot of it had to do with that too, of course, that and then it goes back to Rex Grossman again, the fact that the defense was on the field for so much of the game that they eventually got worn out.
Right. And, I mean, you got to hand it to the Colts defense to some degree. And,
oh, yeah.
I think the Colts defense read him pretty well. Granted, Grossman made it look easy for him, but, you know, all in all, they did a pretty good job of containing the Bears. You know, in my mind, actually, the biggest adjustment made in the game was when the Colts started squid kicking him down the field on special teams.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, after Hester burned him once, he never had a chance to burn him again.
No, they squid kicked it the first time, and then I think the third time, I think Hester was up close, and they kicked it further.
Right, exactly.
So they basically just avoided him. That's what it came down to.
Yeah, I mean, you got to hand it to Tony Dungy. I mean, he got burned on it once, but then, you know, made the correction. So, yeah, I mean, give it up to the Colts defense. They really played a decent game, and, you know, the Bears didn't get much going on the ground other than, you know, the big Thomas Jones 50-yard run there.
Right.
That was really in the game. And then Rex Grossman threw it on third down for, I want to say, a 7-yard touchdown. But, you know, that was Thomas Jones broke one big, you know, 50-yard game,
sure.
And he only had 100 yards in the game total. So.
Right. I think you got handed to both coaches, and they're two class individuals. And I happen to notice that at the end of the game, yeah, you know, that Lovie Smith went over and he gave Tony Dungy, you know, a pretty heartfelt hug, I think. And you know, you don't really see that quite as much, you know, these days. And I think they are, you know, pretty you know, close friends, I believe. And I think that says a lot for both coaches. I think that they are that you know, that tight. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it'll take Lovie a little while to get over the, you know, the loss, but, I mean, that's still one of his best friends in, the NFL and in real life. So, yeah, absolutely, they're class acts, and, you know, it's quite an accomplishment for Tony Dungy, but, let's not forget that, Lovie Smith was the first, African American coach to make it to the Super Bowl. So, hey, they both have a record of some sort. I just wish it went the other way.
So, so real quick, do you think that, Rex Grossman has a job next year?
It's going to be interesting. You know, there was a great stat in the USA Today today that, you know, really, of all the quarterbacks to lose in their first, you know, game in the Super Bowl, very, very few of them made it back there. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, the ones that did, Jim Kelly being the obvious one, yeah. Never won the Super Bowl.
Right.
So, you know, with their fans on him the way he is, you know, he's public enemy number one, in a lot of ways. I mean, I don't think people, you know, hate him like Bartman or anything like that, if I haven't seen him do it. But, Rex Grossman, I mean, he's young. He's got a lot of promise, but there's seasoned veterans out there who a lot of folks feel the Bears can win with right now. And, you know, just going out and throwing names out, Jeff Garcia being one of them. He's an old-timer, but Bears could bring him in. Or, you know, there's even Donovan McNabb and a lot of quarterback controversy with the Eagles. And Donovan right. McNabb being a, you know, he's a hometown Chicago guy.
Sure.
You know, if the Eagles would give him up, the Bears, you know, would love to have some veteran come in like that because the rest of their team is ready to win. So.
Oh, yeah. So, we'll see. The Bears have lost the Super Bowl, but that just means we get redone for the Cubs now, right?
Yeah, well, February 23rd, season tickets or single game tickets go on sale. So
you are ready to get in line, right?
I I'm talking all my friends into it this year. The ones who came to games with me last year, I told them if you want to come this year, you got to get in line with me. At least get a wristband. I have no problem helping them out with tickets if they get a lucky wristband, but.
Right.
Yeah,
I would be there with you if I could there, Tyler.
yeah, you're not included in that policy. Don't worry about that.
Oh, okay. I appreciate that.
But, no, it's going to be big with the amount of money the Cubs have spent this year. I mean, granted, there's still a couple of deficiencies, which I know you and I have talked about before
right.
with Mark Beyer, you know, really still banking on him this year. So,
right. So there's 1 week left for, before the pitchers and catchers report. So,
This is true. So the question I guess, Tom, is how many innings do you think or how many simulated games Mark Beyer will actually throw, before the Cubs deem him healthy to go out there and throw a full game in spring training?
Exactly. Before he bends over and says, ouch, ouch, ouch.
But hey, at least with Kerry Wood, we can take him one inning at a time.
Exactly. Well, we've been talking to Tyler Davis. Tyler Davis attended the Super Bowl. He's been a lifelong Bears fan, and we've been talking to him about the Super Bowl and a little bit about the future of the Bears and the Cubs. Tyler, I do appreciate your time, and we will have you on again.
Thanks for having me, Tom. I appreciate it.
You bet. Take care. All right. Well, welcome back to the show. Chuck, what's the status on the White Sox tickets for the coming year? I know I got a chance to hear a little bit about the Cubs tickets at the convention. I'm curious what the status is for the Sox.
Well, it's typical of a Jerry Reinsdorf team. Prices went up again.
Yeah.
Times are good. Prices go up. So
yeah, I'm sure they're not going to roll over them.
No, in the face of record-breaking attendance, they went up again. I don't know if it was across the board, to be honest with you. I just saw it and kind of disgustedly flipped to another section of the paper. Just another, you know, it seems to be, I mean, you know, my whole thing, I mean, it's just so more and more corporate. I mean, it's pretty tough for,
right.
I got three kids, as you know, it's pretty tough for a family of five
sure.
to attend a lot of games. But in fairness to the Sox, they do still have a handful of half-price nights, and my wife and a teacher, they have some deals for that, so there are some ways to go and
right.
attend games. So I'll give them a little bit of fairness, and I'll pick on the north side of town. I don't think they have any half-price nights or any real cheap discounts, do they, Tom? I don't know.
Honestly, I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah.
I'm not from Chicago, so I don't get a chance to go to the games that often. But I do know that when I was at the Chicago Cubs convention. I guess they call it the manager's, session where Lou Piniella was speaking. I think, they had a fan come up to the mic and was able to address Piniella. And he started going off on saying, you know, thank you so much for lowering the ticket prices. And it's great that even though you signed, you know, Soriano and all that, you know, that's great. You could lower the prices. And Piniella was nodding his head And I really didn't say a whole lot after the band was done. Just sort of, you know, sure. And then later, maybe 5-10 minutes later, said, you know, I really should probably tell you that we are going to be raising the tickets. I think that the season tickets or some aspect of the tickets are going to be lowered, I think, but not the general, you know, bleacher tickets and tickets you normally pay. They're going to be raised a couple of dollars each. And it was kind of awkward, I think, on Pinella's end. He didn't really come out and say that, yes, we are going to be raising prices right away. He did eventually, you know, admit the fact that
did the guy really think they were lowering prices? Or
well, apparently they are, like I said, for some certain aspect of the tickets, but not to the general, you know, general admission, but, he got his statement information wrong, I think. But, Pennell was just put in a really awkward position of, like, having to say, sorry, I hate to tell you this, but no, we're actually going to raise our prices.
And what a surprise.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not that I'm surprised or even blame the Cubs for doing that, but, you know, I'm not sure the fan was trying to go with the Cubs management for making sure, you know, feeling bad for doing that or what, but I think it was just misinformed.
Yeah, the problem is that, you know, I think you can get, these days, there's so many price levels. You know, like I said, the Sox, they have half price night. They got a teacher's night. They have the premium nights where, you know, the Red Sox and Yankees come in, as do the Cubs, I know. So, I mean, literally, I think last year we, all five of us, I will say this, so maybe I'm going back on my affordability statement, but we had all five of us attended one game because the Orioles in July, Upper Deck, which is a qualifier, I think $24 total. Okay, for the five of us. And then later in the season, I think Teddy Ballgame and I went to a game for standing room, one seat was $35.
Okay.
So, I think, you know, it's a gambit.
It
and
is,
then, of course,
yeah.
they're all across the board.
Sure.
There's still an opportunity, I guess, and I'll give the Sox a little kudos. There's still an opportunity to get a good price. Of course, you don't get a prime opponent, but that's the way of the world. 1995, I had partial season ticket plan in the outfield bleachers for Sox, for Celtics, whatever they call it those days, was $6 a seat. I think they're, I'd say we got to be 24 books seats now, so 400% increase in 15 years. I don't know, whatever. The way of the world, I guess.
Yeah.
So
is Juan gone? Juan Gonzalez, has any team expressed any real interest in him?
So I was wondering, I know he expressed an interest in coming back.
Right.
I think I read somewhere on one of the blogs, maybe the Mets blog, I saw he was 10 for 26 in the Caribbean World Series.
Yeah, he did actually play pretty well. I saw that.
Somebody said,
he claims that there are teams that are interested in him, but those journalists who are following him say that there are definitely teams that have said they are definitely not interested in him too. So he's had a rough period, in the last, I'd say, you know, 4 or 5 years and 3 divorces, get a rough time with the Tigers management, but I don't know, he may still have a few home runs left in him. I don't know.
I'm trying to think of how old he is. He's got to be about 36.
37, I think, yeah.
Memory. Yeah. 37, okay. I'm quoting from Baseball Prospectus today, a little bit of a review of the Caribbean World Series, at least the game one.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to give the author credit. Derek Jacques, I think is his name. He says, Juan Gonzalez makes the Tin Man from The Wizard of Oz look nimble and flexible. Just watching him run the bases, I constantly expected to hear a loud snapping sound followed by a trail of body parts. says Igor still has a long looping swing, but his bat speed isn't where he can really turn. I guess he was facing Elmer Descendes. He can't really turn on Elmer Descendes' heat in the third inning. But I guess he did okay to speak to it. So this guy was kind of critical of him, but I think he was 10 for 26. But
right.
What can you do?
To me, it seems strange that he is only 37.
I mean, doesn't to you that he seems he should be older than that?
Definitely. Yeah, he should, but he came up like 91 or 90,
I guess. Yeah, it would make sense then. Yeah.
Guy that was a Surefire Hall of Famer, now he's in that mix of many guys that are borderline, and who knows if they'll ever get a shot.
I mean, he only has 434 home runs. I mean,
is that what it was? Yeah. I didn't know what he wanted. Yeah. But and yet still, there's enough guys desperate, and there's so many, there's a lack of some good hitting on so many teams that if he won, trying to do like a Triple A route or something, you know, so be it. It's somebody to get a shot at him.
Right. Yeah, so who knows? Maybe a shot for some team. I don't know.
One gone.
Yeah, Igor. I think
that's right.
I think you and I both have had him on our APA teams. Is that correct? I know you have. And I.
That's correct. He was a draft choice of mine way back when.
Oh yeah.
At Dark Ages, yeah. You know, also played in that Caribbean World Series. I was reading was supposedly the DH for Dominican was Louis Polonia. 42-year-old Louis Polonia.
Oh, really?
So it's kind of a hodgepodge, that whole series. They got guys that don't seem like they belong on a ball field with the prime stars, and I don't know how they know how to get the players, quite honestly. But
right.
I don't know. Did you get to see that down Caribbean World Series?
No, I have not followed that. I know that Gonzalez had was playing for Puerto Rico. He played for.
I believe that's right. Yeah. I believe that's right. The Dominican won.
Dominican Republic did win.
And yeah,
that's not a surprise. I don't think. They beat Mexico.
Right.
I'm sorry. What?
What else is new? What else is new? Huh?
The yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, that's not a huge surprise. I don't think.
I don't think so. They had. A couple of outlets in the country, I think in New York and other places, they were showing maybe most of the games. But I don't know. I remember the time when Petty Ball Game and I would look channel the Spanish station up here. It was Channel 44 at the time, and they'd always have Winter League games, which we'd always be searching for.
Right.
December, January. But I don't see that anymore unless maybe I'm not flipping the dial to the right spot. But
right.
It was always interesting to see some of these guys. I don't know.
Sure.
But Miguel Cabrera played, I know.
Right. Oh, Tejada.
Tejada played,
Yeah, you see a lot of the Latin players playing in the Caribbean series, and they're giving all they got, too. I know they... When you hear them interviewed, I mean, when they're playing for the country, it means a lot to them. It comes out, you know, during when they talk to the interviews, it means a lot to them.
Yeah, over on the Mets blog, they talked about MetsBlog.com. I'll give you guys credit. Pedro Feliciano, they had the Mets stats from 2007. I guess one blurb that I know, the Caribbean World Series came to an end last night. This was posted on February 8th. The Dominican Republic winning the title with a 5-1 record. So, I don't know if it's 5-9 or what. I don't know how that goes. But they played an opening night doubleheader, I was reading. And the first game ended, it was like 16 innings, and it ended at like 11:30. And they still started game two, and it ended like 3 in the morning.
Oh, God.
So, at Roberto Clemente Stadium. But, it's kind of interesting. I don't know who. One of the things we've been trying to find, and I don't know if, you know, somebody out there knows how to get the stats from this, we'd love to get an email, because I remember Teddy trying, and we had no luck finding stats for either the Winter League or, you know, the World Series.
Yeah, I'll see if I can go. If I can get on that. And if anyone out there does, email is feedback@baseballzealotradio.com. Just to plug our email address out there.
Sure. Good opportunity. Thanks.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. Well, nice segue there, Chuck.
Yeah, segue. That's
what
I meant. Slip it in. Yeah, you slipped it in. Yeah, there you go.
Right. Speaking of segues, going from Juan Gonzalez to another older ball player who's fading out here. Chan Ho Park, I think signed a. It was just about to sign his contract, I think, to the New York Mets. I'm not sure if he. I heard that was as of yesterday. I don't know if he signed it yet or not. I don't think he had.
He did. I saw that he had signed. Yeah, that team, boy, they are hurting for arms.
They are. They're signing.
I mean, you know, no, Yeah, no offense to Todd Blavitt either. When you lead that rotation, you're what, 41 or 42?
Yeah, you know the rule about Tom Glavine on this show. You can't be dissing Tom Glavine.
I won't be dissing Glavine. I know you're a fan. Still. You did have a good year last year, but I mean, to have your own rotation,
you're
a contender and your staff is just like,
you can't be your number one starter. I understand that, yeah.
Who's got a better staff going into the spring, the Mets or the Cubs?
Yeah, that's a good question. Considering that the Mets went to the postseason, you know, that's a pretty sad statement from the Mets. I mean, you know, all respect to the Mets fans out there, but, that's a rough comparison, you know, it really is.
Yeah, I mean, I remember we had some discussions about, Jeff Weaver getting, $7 million
right.
was chastised among our little blog unit. And, I'm thinking, what about Jason Marquis? I mean, he's got $21
million. Right, yeah.
I got a 6 ERA.
Yeah.
I had forgotten this, Tom, but he was left off the playoff roster. I completely forgotten that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So he wasn't included in the Cubs are, plunging in.
Oh, yeah. Jason, so. That's it. I heard, just another segue here, speaking of being left off the playoff roster, Felix P.A. was left off the Winter League playoff roster. The hot and heavy, prospect for the Cubs, the center fielder for the Cubs.
Oh yeah.
He was left off the playoff roster, Winter League playoff roster, a few weeks ago. And just because he was hitting, 216, I believe. I don't know. His fielding's just fine, which is what the Cubs want him to work on. But I'm sorry, you gotta work on your hitting too. And
Could be tired. Could be tired. That 37-ounce bat or 34-ounce bat.
Yeah, exactly.
Weighs a lot. You get tired. He might be. I can't imagine him not being up this year because they don't have a center fielder.
I was talking to Todd about that. Yeah, that he's really their only true, decent outfielder coming in, and he's going to have to come up sometime. Not at the beginning of the year, but sometime.
You were mentioning today, one of the Chicago stations now has a baseball show too. I'll give them a plug to the Score, but they were talking about why didn't the Cubs sign Bernie Williams, which was interesting. I think Bernie's invited minor league camp for the Yankees, but
he's not going for that. No,
he's staying. He wants to stay in New York. But I mean, it would be a bad suggestion to bring him up for those couple of months. Get PA, get him ready, and then second half of the year. But they're going to put Soriano in center. Good luck.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I don't know. If it were me, I'd almost switch Jones and Soriano.
Maybe you're onto something. Yeah,
I would think that Soriano would have a better arm, a decent arm playing. And I would think that Jones could adapt in the center field. I don't know.
Did he play any center at all?
Jones has played center field in the past.
Oh, okay.
Not a whole lot, but he has
too, for that matter.
Right.
Because Kevin Mensch has too. So if you want to, does that mean any? No, I think maybe that's not a bad suggestion, but
right,
so
what do I know?
If it happens, then if it happens, you say you heard it on the Zealot.
That's right. That's right.
You take full credit for it.
That's right. I'll just copy this and I'll play it over and over again on the montages, right?
I think so. At some point, I think the Tribune's got to throw you a free.
There we go.
That suggestion comes through. I don't know.
How about the Reds? They've been busy signing pitchers, huh?
I haven't seen, what do they do?
They're
existing staff, right. I still think that, he wasn't really ripped too much at the time, their GM, for trading Kearns.
Majewski? Oh, I know, yeah.
Majewski, but I mean, and I know Todd's not here to defend Majewski, so I can fire all
right,
over
right.
him. I don't understand that at all. I mean, not that I'm a Kearns guy, which I am, as you know, but
right.
Still, come on. I don't quite understand, because 26 and time will tell. I guess they felt they had an overabundance of outfielders, so they only two of them. Now they don't have an overabundance anymore. Oh, well.
Right.
going to do. Must be the Padres are also real short on outfield. I forgot who they're going to bring into camp. They got Cameron and Giles, but they're scuffling for that.
Yeah.
Sports Weekly has the new schedule out, so I guess the Sox.
Yeah,
the season schedule. Sox finish at home for the first time in about 3 or 4 years.
Oh yeah.
And they finish against the Tigers.
So, oh really? Yeah.
But here's who they're touting. They're touting Jermell Sledge. They want him.
Oh.
And he's in competition with Jose Cruz Jr. going in the spring, but they're trying to make overtures at Aaron Rowan. So they'd have Rowan.
Oh.
That would be a good outfield defensively. Cameron Jackson and Rowan would be real good. I don't know why the Phillies would want to trade Rowan. I don't know.
No, I don't either.
Maybe Victorino or ready to.
Aaron Rowan is the Pete Razor of the century, right?
Yeah. That's it. I don't know. He can come back here. If he has trouble, he can come back here. Maybe he can go to the North, too. You guys can probably...
Right, no. Seriously. Yeah, we could use a decent outfield that...
He could do a lot worse than Aaron Rowan. Yeah.
Right. No, I agree with that. So, what's the deal with Barry Bonds? Is he going to be able to keep the contract or not?
Very cryptic. I'm quoting again from the USA Today Sports Weekly. Kind of cryptic. It says a probable, I'm quote from them, probably shouldn't have been considered final on January 29th. And the Giants announced they finally had a deal with Barry Bonds.
Right.
2 days later, it was revealed that Major League Baseball rejected the deal because of a conflict involving a personal appearance provision. What the heck does that mean?
Oh, was that the deal? Okay.
That's what it says, but it does not talk about why. So, and maybe it does later on, but I just don't know. It's still up in the air, I guess, right? We'll see.
Last I heard, it was because of if he had gotten any sort of legal trouble that would void the clause. And, of course, both Major League Baseball and the players union would have, major trouble with that, which I can certainly understand. But,
I thought we were going to go a show without mentioning that S word, or we didn't really mention it.
No, sorry.
Okay, all right. Okay, that's S word free show.
Okay.
But, yeah, I don't know. So I guess it's off, right? Right now he's not a member of the Giants, but I still expect him to be. But
I would expect him to be, too. Right.
There's only one suitor, and there's only one suitee. There's nobody else for him. They're made in heaven, I guess, or made somewhere else. But, yeah, it'll be interesting.
Very much continues. We'll definitely find out, yeah.
Will he break the record this year, do you think?
How many more does he have left?
I think he's in the 20s.
25?
Yeah, 20-something.
Yeah. 20. I don't know if he'll do it this year. I really don't. I think
if he doesn't, then he's not going to do it, I don't think. Unless it comes back.
I heard he will be back in 2008. If he's healthy. That's what he is. I've heard some statement he made, some quote he made in the papers that he'll be back in 2008 if that's what it takes. I should qualify that. If that's what it takes for him to break the record, he'll be back in 2008. Of course, as soon as he breaks the record, he's going to step off the ball field and never go step back, never come back. That's what I think.
I would think, nobody else is going to sign him. But
right.
Remember a couple of years ago he was saying how, I remember this quote, but I couldn't tell you where I had read it, but he talked about, the record I really want is Babe Ruth's. He says, I don't care if I catch Hank.
Oh, really? Yeah, right.
He had said that, right now it's like, well, maybe I want the record. And right. Bud Selig made some news about him. He's kind of was noncommittal on whether he would attend the event.
Oh, I hadn't heard that. And that, of course, Hank Aaron is definitely not going to show up.
Right.
And I'm glad at least that he has, said that now and not waited until then to make that.
Yeah, right, that's true.
I mean,
everyone knows that
now, and when he says it that then, it's like, oh yeah, Hank Aaron, he said that already. So.
Yeah. Well, of course, the commissioner wasn't on hand when Hank hit his 754th.
Is that true?
Well, think about it. He hit it like in hit it in the middle of July and nobody knew it was, he hit it in the middle of the summer of 76 and nobody knew it was.
Oh, you mean his, the one that broke Babe Ruth's record or his last one?
No, his last one.
Oh, last one. Yeah, how would anyone know? Yeah.
Right, exactly. There's an interesting story about that, though. I read it several years ago, the guy on the grounds crew in Milwaukee.
Right.
Got the ball, and apparently still has it to this day.
Oh, yeah?
Then the Brewers were claiming, this is back, I guess in the 70s, said, well, give it to us, because it's our property.
Right.
He said no, and they fired him, and he kept it after they fired. Kind of like an early Doug Minkiewicz story, I guess.
Right.
So, I don't know what could be just the Giants and their fans that are honoring Barry if he does it at home, and if it's on the road. Gosh, I don't know what the perception would be then.
Yeah, right.
They had a couple. Oh, you're not saying, you say he'll break it next year, or you're not even saying he'll break it?
I don't think he'll break it. All I'm saying is I don't think he'll break it this year. If he's healthy and willing, and there's a team that'll take him next year, sure, he'll probably break it next year. But that's too far ahead for anyone to really make a contact. Any sort of.
Still 115 walks last year, Tom. Still had 115 walks. Somebody's still scared of it.
That to me is amazing, I think. That people are still that scared of him. I mean.
I don't know. 42, he had a 450 odd base percentage, but.
How much of that was intentional walks? I mean,
I don't know.
If you take that away,
he even stole three bases and wasn't caught.
Right. Yeah.
There you go. OPS of almost 1,000. Oh, anyway.
So have you heard about A-Rod's children's book?
No, you alluded to it. I did see a real story at it, but I don't know any of the details, and I think I might have seen him in the news.
Right.
But you know on that topic.
It's kind of interesting. He's got an 8-year-old girl, and he's kind of interested in furthering the literacy of his child and other kids too, I guess. And he wrote a book, I guess geared toward 7 to 9-year-olds, and it talks about a boy named Alex, and how. Yeah, it makes it go home, and it talks about
his. Was he booting his little league game or something like that?
Well, funny you say. Why do you say that? Well,
no.
He wasn't really booed, but he did.
He wasn't.
He did make an error, in the big game, and how he came back and he tried really hard to make up for the error, and he didn't do so well, and I don't
did
know.
Did his manager drop him from like 4th to 8th in the order, or no? I'm just wondering.
I honestly don't know the ending because they were reviewing the book on the radio. I didn't read the book, but it does sound an awful lot like someone's story.
It does sound a little autobiographical.
It does.
This
boy plays second base, not shortstop or third base. So.
Oh.
Totally different.
Okay.
Different story.
Yes. That can't be the same guy.
Would
you buy that for your kids, Tom?
I might check it out. Yeah, I do have a 10-year-old and I do have a 6-year-old, so.
I can see why he needs to augment the income a little bit. I think $20 million a year just doesn't go.
The rumor is that he did write the book himself, and I have to give him credit for that because some of these baseball players they have ghostwriters, and no, the story is he actually wrote the book himself, and I might get it just for that fact, someone that's a book that a baseball player wrote himself, even though it was for 8-year-olds, but hey, you gotta start
get him on the show.
Yeah.
You get him on the show, maybe talk only about the kids' book.
That's right. Hey, I hear you're a children's book writer. Can you come on our show?
We won't ask you anything at all
Tell me about your writing style here.
Do you have a name for that book or not?
I don't even know the name of the book.
Okay.
But I'm awful here, aren't I? It is out there. I'm sure you could probably get a bookstore out there.
Can I segue to a book that I just finished literally this week? And after I finished it, this is probably about 2-year-old book called Black and Blue, written by Tom Edelman, who it's basically about the 1966 season and the World Series. how the Orioles swept the Dodgers.
Okay.
I just finished the chapter, and I don't know what chapter it is, but it was toward the end of the book. And Steve, now here's the other segue, but Steve Barber, he went on a disabled list, I guess, with 2 days left in the season.
Okay.
He was supposed to start a game in the series, and he didn't. So it was a deep regret. He never got into a series after that, or before for that matter.
Uh-huh.
So he missed the series and was a key member of that rotation. And then, lo and behold, the next day I found out that he passed away this week too, so.
Oh.
Good left-hander, still in his 60s, I believe.
Wow.
Good left-hander for the Orioles and the Yankees and I think the Cubs too, Tom.
Yeah,
I think,
right.
60 for the 70s. In fact, I actually remember my little, memory bank here. I remember seeing a national televised game when he pitched a no-hitter, but might either lost, let's see, either gave up a run, walked like a ton of guys, which he was prone to do, or lost a game, but, missed. But anyway, the book itself is a good book. Tom Edelman, a good, writer, captured the flavor of 66 very well, and, he kind of calls it kind of a forgotten World Series because all the games were like really quick and the Orioles just like blew them away. And after game one, the Dodgers are shut out for the next three games and they never really made it back to this, so that, you know, kind of the last team, sort of a dynasty. I had some good teams there in the 60s, but something to check it out.
Yeah.
That was,
right. Okay.
Yeah.
But
then there's some other deaths too.
Out of the Ballpark is the name of that book, by the way. By Alex Rodriguez.
Oh, for the A-Rod book?
Yeah,
okay.
Out of Ball. It is in English and Spanish.
There you go. I wonder what the sales will be like for that. I might, after this is done, I might go out. Barnes & Noble's still open. I might try to pick it up tonight.
Yeah.
I'm crossing my fingers when I say that.
Yeah.
I might have a better idea. I might just lay down and call it a night.
Take it on the out. There we go. All
right. I've got to give Tom Edelman another plug, though. He also wrote a book called Long Ball. Which
okay.
was kind of like about the 1975 season and
the World
Series.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, talking about, I mean, real eclectic, you talked about how, Johnny Bench's marriage
sure.
to, can't remember who, Vicky, whoever it was, because she Miss America or
something. Right, something like that, yeah.
Pageant, what, I don't know, something
it was,
like that.
It was a woman, I know that.
That's true! At least by, yes, by all accounts it was, at least, yeah. That's true. Good point. Can I say?
Yeah.
But yeah, it seemed like it was a bad week for baseball.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, we had four or five deaths in the last week or so. My God,
yeah,
Lou Burdette.
Lou Burdette, yeah, I forgot about Lou. Yeah, right, of course, right.
Big postseason pitcher.
Lou Burdette, Steve Barber, Hank Bauer.
Bauer. Randy Lanier.
Yeah.
And
Eddie Fainter.
And Fainter, yeah. The king,
the
courts have got their king right now.
Yeah, you got that right.
Yeah.
Did you ever have a chance to see him? That's a guy I wanted to talk about. I mean,
I had a friend who actually saw them. He said that it was a really amazing thing to see. Can you describe what you saw?
Yeah, it was kind of amazing, really. He took, I saw him, I'd say it was like the, I think I can remember, it was like September of 76, so it's 31 years ago now.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, so he was 50 or 51. I think he died at 81, so he was 50 years old.
Okay.
He had like four guys that he played with. That was it. He played, of course, it was a 12-inch softball, but he would play against a full team of 10 guys. And then I think for one of the innings, he did something different every inning. I think one of the innings he called in his infield and outfield,
right.
A la Satchel Paige. Then another inning he just did it with the catcher. Him and a catcher. When he called in everybody, if it was a ground ball, either he fielded it, and then the catcher went and covered first.
Wow.
You know, I think, like you said, he only had four or five guys on the team. It was pretty phenomenal.
They were just like barnstormers, right? They went around the country.
And
they would challenge the local, you know, softball or baseball team. And
yeah. It was probably a couple bucks a throw back then. You know,
right.
We played at, in Chicago, we have, I don't know if you're familiar, at the Vaughn Avenue in McCormick, there's Dillon's Stadium, which seats maybe 1,000 people.
Right.
And it Little Leaguers usually use it in games like this. So
uh-huh.
They had it there. I assume it was for his pocketbook.
Right.
I don't think he got rich. He pitched, I got a videotape where he pitches blindfolded. And,
oh, wow.
It, They said he could have been a major league pitcher had he gone that route. I don't think he played much hardball. But Tribune had a nice little write-up. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I had heard he actually struck out, like, you know, a list of all these Hall of Fame type players, you know, and...
Yeah, good. Exactly. I heard the Tribune article yesterday, Chicago Tribune wrote a nice article about him. The header says, he threw 930 no-hitters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And then it said, 238 perfect games. So he struck out 141,000. I don't know how they kept track of
that. No, I don't know how they do either. It's probably a hard guess, but still.
I think so. It's not a round number. But they said, this is the one that caught me in a nationally, this is probably what you're referring to, Thomas, in a nationally televised exhibition against major leaguers. In 64, he struck out Mays, McCovey, Will Kilbrew, Clemente, and Brooks Robinson in order.
Wow. It's interesting he did not, like, in his prime, you know, go to majors and try out, because I'm sure he probably could have, you know, been a very good pitcher in his prime, or even after his prime.
Yeah, the guy obviously had a good arm. I mean,
right.
He had, you know, he said his fastball was clocked at 104, but I thought,
right.
Well, what does that mean, though? It's softball, so
yeah.
He, you know, I was thinking.
He was pitching at what, 46 feet, I think, or it wasn't at the normal.
Yeah, 46 feet is right.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. So, I mean, that's when you're always faster at 46 feet, I would think. I mean, and yet he's pitched underhanded, which would be tough. You know, I don't know.
Was this 100 miles per hour underhand?
He would pitch underhand.
That's pretty amazing. That's
yeah, so even wow. even at the 46 feet, yeah, right, they're pitching, so, you know.
Yeah, so.
He pitched the car, he pitched
to
Johnny Carson.
Right?
Yeah, Hail to the King.
Hail
he pitched blindfolded.
King, yeah.
Johnny Carson, he'll be missed, and
yeah.
Hank Bauer had some good years too. What do you think on Bauer?
He was a pretty hard nosed player who didn't like to mess around with. I heard some story in the paper where he you know jacked up Mantle for messing around and said, "Don't mess around with my World Series,
my money,
money." You know, because basically he was. Because he was not taking the baseball game too seriously at the time, and I could see Mantle doing that, and I could see Bob Bauer.
Yeah, but Nick, he was a pallbearer at Nick's funeral.
Was he?
Did you know that one?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Also, in the book Black and Blue, he of course managed the 1966 Orioles.
That's true. Yeah. Right.
So yeah, and he hit 320 one year for the Yankees, which I didn't know about. So the Yankees also have this history of guys that are. In addition to their superstars, they have like real solid guys.
Right, right.
I think in modern times, like Paul O'Neill.
Exactly,
you know,
right.
Guys that stay with them for a long time that are not superstars, but are very good players that might have had one or two real good years that, or Bernie Williams too, although he could be a borderline Hall of Famer.
He's borderline.
For another day.
But,
yeah.
I see what you're saying. Gordon, Joe Gordon, you know,
Joe Gordon, yeah.
Woodling, maybe. He might be a little. Maybe not that great, but
I like Gordon. Yeah, I like Gordon.
Yeah,
yeah, I think he's better than I think he's a belonger. But that's another
story. Tony Lazzari going back to the 20s and 30s. Although Lazzari actually might be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know.
Well, Lazzari is. Yeah, Lazzari is.
But I wouldn't call it.
Charlie Keller's maybe one.
Yeah.
Right. Roy White maybe comes to mind. Right. Roy White got a couple of those
series.
Sure. Who's 15? Maybe three times.
But I see what you're saying. Yeah, and. And Bauer falls into that category.
He's
a real solid player who comes in, it does his job, does it well, and doesn't get the you know, isn't lauded like the other players are, but probably doesn't care either.
No, right. I mean, yeah, like you probably got it right with your quote to Mantle, hey, just don't mess with my money, you know,
He probably needed it more than Mantle did.
Yeah, I remember stories about the, you know, Weiss and stuff when he was general manager of the Yankees saying how they would factor in that World Series money into the guy's salary. Well,
right.
You know, we're not going to give you a $4,000 raise because we'll give you a $2,000 raise because you're going to make five of the series.
Right.
And, you know, let's face it, for 15 years, they were there, 13 out of 15 years there and from 49 to 64.
Right. Like exactly.
You got a Max Lanier. I don't want to.
Other than the fact that he's Al Lanier's father, I know much, very little about Max.
I'd forgotten that. Yeah.
Right.
I forgot that he was Al's father.
Right.
For those of you who don't know who Al Lanier was, infielder, for the Giants in the
right.
70s, and yeah, it was the 60s and 70s, really, yeah.
We need to get Don S. on here. He's the old guy.
Hey, man, you have to come out just to refute that. Although it's rumored that he saw Marion Motley play. That's another era.
Right.
I don't want to beat by that.
Luberetto,
we have 3-0.
That's a fullback for you. Yeah.
Luberetto 3-0 in the 57
right.
series,
three
right?
Complete games, is that right? They're all complete.
Yeah, that could be.
I think. I'm not.
Yeah. I still remember his past baseball card count from like 1966.
Yeah?
I think he was with Cubs and Angels, but he had that buzz cut, you know, almost
right.
Hank Fowler too, but I can see that crew cut with Lou Burdett,
right.
You know, pitched. He's another guy. He'll be in my, the near Hall of Fame. But
right, yeah, the Hall
right?
of Very Good.
Hall of the Very Good. The Hall of the Very Good. He would be one of these friends.
The Hall
of
Not Too
of
Bad. Yeah.
The Hall of Not Too Bad. The Pretty Not So Bad. So that, yeah, he would be a member. I don't know if Bauer would make it. But you know, Bauer would be the Hall of the Pretty Tough.
Yeah, the Hall of Pretty Tough. That's where he'd be, the Hall of Pretty Tough.
But Hard Nose, I don't want to go, we'll give it Hank maybe more than, bless the soul and all that. But Hank had, you know, Hard Nose is what they always say when you.
Bauer would be in the Hall of Don't Mess Around With Me.
Yeah, don't mess with me. I was a Marine thing.
But right.
They were kind of, somebody this week, though, brought him up at one of the Chicago stations. They were kind of questioning his managerial ability, and I never really thought he was a bad manager or a good manager.
That's probably a little bit before my time, but from what I've heard.
Well, of course. I was in your time. It's just that you were just walking around the crib at that
that's
time.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
He was the Orioles. He managed up until Earl Weaver, actually.
That's right.
Yeah.
I didn't have my crib radio tuned into that game.
That's right. You probably did. I don't. It's good. Right then, you were thinking of the zealot.
Yeah, right.
The zealot. Daddy, what does zealot mean? Or something like that.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And what else you got on that little notepad of yours?
What's your take on the whole DirecTV deal that baseball's made?
That's right, yeah.
That's the way it affects me. I usually subscribe to the baseball, watching baseball on the old internet.
You do? How do you like that picture, though? That's
fine.
Yeah,
it works fine for me.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you do? I mean, how do you do that? What do you watch baseball on your computer? I know a lot of people subscribe to it. I don't mean it, but I don't know. When do you do it? Down in front of the computer, or do you carry it with you?
I honestly would not do it any other way. I mean, I spend more time in front of my computer than I do in my living room, so I'd rather do it, use Mosaic or MLB.
Okay,
Netflix.
So you're watching and doing.
Yeah.
Watching and doing something else at the same time, so.
Their new interactive, they call it Mosaic, where you can have multiple games on at one time. It's pretty good.
People have been complaining up here, though. What I read on the direct issue is, isn't Rupert Murdoch, is he DirecTV? I don't know. But,
right.
Because you could get up here through cable. And then one thing I liked, at least, I'm not a subscriber to the MLB package.
Right.
I always want to, and I never do.
Right.
But, I did like the 2 weeks or the 1 week of free preview that they gave.
Right.
So that was always flipping around the dial. My take on not getting it is because I figured I'd never leave the house if I don't leave it too often, but if I had the MLB package, I'd be,
Right.
Formally in front of that TV all the time.
So, I mean, what is your impression of the whole exclusivity of the DirecTV deal that baseball has made?
Well, I never like it. I mean, the exclusivity piece is never good for the consumer as a general rule. So I could probably go as far as saying expect prices to rise. And, I would think that's going to happen right away. I understand it. I guess I don't know the economics of the dollars in terms of what Major League Baseball got out of it. So they must have gotten a pretty sweet package. Do you know if it was a multi-year deal or that's the other thing?
Honestly, I do not know. Do you think that Bud Selig and his office, do you think they have a clue as to what the issues are? Or do you think they listen to DirecTV and say, hey, this is a good idea and we're getting all this money, let's do it?
I think they are, and no, I mean, I think they're just, yeah, no, they're not looking at the consumer, although,
right.
You know, that's a whole other topic. Is Bud good for baseball? I mean,
right.
Baseball attendance is better than ever before, more interest than ever
right.
before, arguably.
Got
you
the
know,
CBA.
The
I mean, you got, what? I mean, in a lot of ways, baseball's in its best mood ever, you know, in a lot of ways it is. But, and I'm not saying it's, you know, him doing it, but he's not messing it up. But in other ways, he does something like this, and I mean, what the heck? You know?
Yeah, I don't know what, I guess I'll know when they announce the new price schedule.
Right.
And I mean, I don't, and not just that, it's also the excess. Now, the excess
right.
to that product is vastly curtailed, you know?
Sure.
Because not everybody, well, I mean, between cable and the Dish Network and DirecTV, I think there's wide access. Now you limit it to direct and you cut
right.
the access in half. So I don't understand that. So, hey, a lot of things I don't understand. Like, I don't understand why the Pirates are introducing an alternate red jersey at first baseman animal.
What, yeah, what's the story on that?
I don't know, this alternate jersey is, but you know, it is just like I have an 11-year-old and you got a 10-year-old. I don't know if your son, is into that, but my son loves like the alternate jersey. He follows it, so
right.
I think
okay.
It's a. I don't like.
So they change the jersey so they can sell more and get the revenue.
I think so.
Like, yeah.
Solid red vest. It's a solid red vest with the traditional Pirates gold and black.
So your son follows the Pirates.
Pardon?
Your son follows the Pirates? Is that what you're telling me?
No, he doesn't follow the Pirates. No,
okay.
No.
Boy, I was gonna say. Where'd you
yeah. No, we'd be changing that in a hurry.
I was going to say, find a psychologist real quick.
That's it. Although they have a lot of young pitchers, that's what I keep hearing.
Well,
my son is dutifully following the company line and is showing all evidence to be a staunch White Sox fan.
Okay.
So
well,
that's
same,
good
same
news
here.
That might...
Although my daughter has
okay.
been known to be wear a Cardinals PJ once in a while at night and
hey.
She gets a glare from me, but hey, you know.
Yeah, the world champions.
I know.
Even
though she's been wearing this for a couple of years now, and I still, hey, I guess she was right, right? Wow.
Asterisk. We'll give him an asterisk for the 83 wins, but at least she's dead. What can I tell you?
Yeah.
Because, but anyway.
Right.
Anything else happening in the world that we need to know
so.
About?
I don't think
no?
so.
Let's do this again sometime.
Yeah, let me give out the all the particulars here. You're listening to Baseball Zealot Radio. If you want to email us and tell us how we're doing, our email address is feedback@baseballzealotradio.com. If you don't want to email us but you want to give us a call, we do have a new phone line. Our phone number is 217-883-4571. If you're listening to us via iTunes or RSS, feel free to visit our website. Our website is www.baseballzealotradio.com. Come by and leave a comment on our website and check us out. Chuck, anything you want to leave?
Yes, sir.
Anything you want to say to our fans before we sign off here?
Well, if I can stop my teeth from chattering in the cold weather, next time we talk, spring training will have begun.
Yes,
so.
I know. That is so exciting. I am.
That is exciting.
Yes, we've been waiting all winter for some sort of we've been latching on to this one, any sort of action in baseball, and now it's going to start happening. And
that's right.
The next thing will be an actual pitch in actual competitive baseball in spring training, and then in April or late March will be the actual season to start. I am so excited. And
April 1st is good.
One more thing. The Illini baseball team, their season actually does start in February. February 23rd.
Really?
So that's only like a week or two away. They, of course, will be starting and playing in the South. They've been playing road games for a while. So, guys, good luck. You know, when
go to the Illini? Yeah.
Go Illini, yeah.
And the Sporting News previews issues are out on the newsstands, too, so.
Yeah.
But you know, the Sporting News, the last thought, I know we're sick, they stopped publishing the baseball guy. First time in, I think, around 50 years.
Oh, yeah?
That's kind of a disconcerting.
Yeah,
I read that
on
the internet.
I remember getting that from the library when I was like 8 or 9, and just,
oh yeah,
even when it was like, you know, it was probably like 10 or 12 years old, 1969.
Right.
Oh, I love reading that.
Oh, me too. And I have a whole litany of them, and they've stopped publishing it from all accounts. They still have the Baseball Register, but wonder how long that's gonna
right.
be before they discontinue that. So,
all
not
right.
good news on that front. Former Baseball Bible, but anyway.
Well, Chuck, it's been
all
a
right.
pleasure.
It's been fun, Tom. Do it again.
All right, you got it.
All right, sounds good.
Take care.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.